wants to see a very interesting story. It's called Sefer Habino VeHabracha, Rav Sorotzkin. Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld was asked by the Kaiser of Austria, why is it that apparently even the Kaiser of Austria realized that as the world continues to progress, people have become more and more distant from the Ribono Shel Olam. That was what this Kaiser of Austria noticed and asked Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld.
Franz Joseph,
yeah. And what's Shat? So this Chaim Sonnenfeld answers, and it's Shat and Chomish itself tells us this. We find it's supposed to start this year last week, but because of Rabbi Yosef, that's all. But really, found in Parshas Noach, at the end there, it says that the Dor HaFlaga, it says, Nilvan Elevenim, Nisrael Esreifa. And the next move is then to build the Migdal Rosh Hashanah Shamayim. So once they realize they're able to build Levenim and they're able to advance themselves in such a fashion, that's the marker. You see that the advancement themselves sometimes could be, you realize, a Kofi Botsim Yadi or whatever, something like that. Brings about the distance, the feeling of one could therefore be to build a rosho, migdal rosho al shamayim. In essence, of course, certainly dealing with that in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, where the essence of it is, where the issue is leches machsheves, leches machsheves is probably most. How would I say, it manifests itself most clearly, most definitely in terms of these areas, and it's therefore appropriate to understand, and as we're shoveis on Shabbos, and we bring everything back towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu through the Melechas Machshavet, but when we speak about a Machshav, a Machashev, and computers, and everything that it does in that type of form, we're harnessing the world in that type of way, in the technology, which hopefully bring it back to the Kodesh Baruch Hu through this type of thought process. Furthermore, the Yerushalmi, so one of the Svarim which deal with these topics, it quotes the Yerushalmi at the end of the second parak of Nida, which tells you the following. Rav Chanina, certain things he passed him on his own. Other times, he needed to get, I think like Yochanan or Rish Lakish were with him at the time, to get others around to pass him with him. So they asked, why now? Or you'd be Masari for us, other times you pass him yourself. So he said, this I only heard from my Rebbe twice, and therefore I'm not going to pass it on my own. So, in these areas, as opposed to other areas, halacha, which are firmly based in Rishonim and Gemaras, here there's the whole thing, everything is brand new, it's a kol chadash, reza chadash. Everything that we're talking about has to be analyzed, kemat mechadash, baruch Hashem, and normally, my approach to sugyas would normally be learning Gemaras and Rishonim, but in this topic, Kamat will start. You're not going to find the Rashba talking directly about what to do with the computer, what to do with various machines. So obviously, we have to deal with much more from the Achronim, who you have a list here of some of the Svarim which deal with it. It's on the bottom. Everyone has the papers. I have a list of some of the sermon which I use. Most Kedai, by the way, they reprinted the Ma'orei Eish that Rav Shlomo Zalman wrote when he was 25 years old, when the Shas first became very popular in Eretz Yisrael. And so they reprinted it with footnotes and with all of Rav Shlomo Zalman's writings on electricity. That's probably the most important work that I use in terms of everything we're going to be doing. So, certainly, I'm not capable of passing these things myself. Anyways, everything we're saying, Kamad is la'alocha v'la'lamaisa. But certainly, I need the help of everybody around in terms both of the purpose of such a chabur is la'agdil Torah la'adira in a sense of first of all, in terms of in describing the mitzvahs, which is sometimes not so pasha to get to, and also in determining the halacha. I don't want to do this myself, or rather, as a chabura, hopefully, be mitzari if others in this process will get at least to a process of halacha, even if it's full of shalol lemaisa. Now, having that all been said, we mentioned everything is chadash, kind of broke it down. in analyzing each and every situation that's going to come up, I think we could break it down more or less to eight types of questions, which we're going to have to ask. And over the course of the next couple of probably months, we'll probably analyze each of these questions and to analyze whether or not one is violating a malacha, whether it's mutter or aser, or parenthetically, even besides what's mutter and aser, whether it's daraisa or drabanon. I'm not going to necessarily go through to know what the differences are between whether something is daraisa or drabanon, but you know there's more room to be lenient once something is drabanon. I'm assuming that more or less people know how to maneuver and manipulate once something is already daraisa or drabanon, etc. Now, question number one to deal with is, which malacha are you doing with this gadget, with this machine? And for example, as we point out here, that probably, I don't know, every one of the malachos, of Lamentas malachos, are done in a different fashion than they were way back in the day. I have a list here. I'm sure it's a partial list, but you can show basically. I'm sure Zareya, people aren't planting anymore by hand. I'm sure they have some machine doing Zareya. That I'm not as familiar with what it's called. Yeah.
They used to have that in the times of the Tanakh also, the Meshach Hazara.
A Meshach Hazara, okay. Good. Oh, so already back then they have something. Good. Choresh we're doing now with tractors. I'm sure we're using some type of electric cutter to cut things off the trees. We're not sitting there with scissors anymore. I'm not on the farms. So I don't really know, but I'm Kamat Fatuach, they're not using scissors. In terms of dash, they have a milking machine now for the animals. These are some of the original shaylut they're asking. In terms of binyam, using electric drills, power saws, machatech, sewing machines for tofer, shavers, lawnmowers, bread makers, Kamat, every one of the malachos being done in a different fashion than they were back then. But l'chora, one could probably look at this and say pretty safely that all you did there was just used to copy accomplishing and doing the exact same malacha, just doing it more efficiently, quicker, with more diktok, and l'chora, there's not going to be any reason to think you're not over the malacha, or you did it in a just better fashion. So l'chora, in those type of situations, it's pretty postured that you're over, unless someone could tell me some reason why one would think not. But in other words, the first question you're asking when you're using these machshirim is, are you being over the iser in the same way that it was done, or are you being, which malacha are you doing? And in these cases, it's possible you're over the malachas. However, there are going to be other cases which are going to be a little bit more subtle, which are going to have to be analyzed, and it's going to make us reanalyze what the gedder of a certain malacha is going to be, as they're not exactly being done in the same way. I'll throw out some examples right now, and we'll start them, and eventually we'll start them. It's right now setting up an introduction to think in every situation is going to come up to kind of ask these questions. Lamashal, I'm told that these are a little bit going out, and now they're becoming even somewhat illegal, but to have the incandescent bulbs. The incandescent bulbs, they watch it, they're not energy efficient, but the incandescent bulb, as we'll describe it more, is probably one of the first things we'll talk about, being that it was one of the earliest discussions, the issue there is going to be, it's certainly going to be different than a regular, used to when you light a fire, you'd light an air, you'd light a match, and you'd end up lighting a candle. So, okay, you'll light some wood, and eventually it would burn. Okay, Master Inkane, when you're lighting a filament, is that considered havara or not? So that was the question which people deal with. That would be the first thing which we'll deal with. It's not so nogay anymore in terms of most of the lights we have anymore are no longer incandescent. It's still nogay at other things that which are very parallel to it: electric heaters, electric ovens. So Mirat Hashem, that will be one of the first things we'll talk about. It will get to interesting Hagdara and Lamdas in terms of being Magdir, the Malacha of Havara. Okay, or, that's one example of that. Another example of that is typing on a computer. Typing on a computer screen. None of us write anymore. We all type on a computer. So typing on a computer, we'll have to analyze, is that considered, what makes up ksiva? Obviously, one doesn't think when you're typing, if you're not being over shtei batei nirim, or shtei batei nirim, the question is whether you're over ksiva. You have to dan what the gather of ksiva is, and some posts going to make us, some are not. We'll talk about the pratim as we proceed, but as another example, we have to analyze, and you have to get to the essence of various malachos to understand this process. Or another example like that, maybe I'm a little bit out of order, maybe in terms of bishul. Bishul, we now cook in numerous different ways than we did back then. For example, microwave, induction ovens, all types of different things, which are using different types of heat, which again, it make us rethink, reanalyze the malacha of bishul. Those are three examples that I thought of. If you'll, and again, and we're here part of it as a group, you'll tell me if there are other things that are going to come up, and I want to hear, I think, either now or at some point, things we could work out. Other thing which in various other malachos to rethink other malachos as people hear of other things. But those are three examples where you're thinking this and the what the malacha is per se. Next, question number two here is, let's say I'm not doing any malacha, other malacha per se. I'm not doing the laundry, I'm not doing malabing through a washing machine, I'm not writing through anything. I'm simply using electricity to run some type of other machine. I'm turning on a fan, I'm turning on an air conditioner. There's no malacha to heat things up. There's no malacha to make things cold. So, we use electricity in billions of functions. I combine everything and we use it. So this was one of the early questions, but I'm sure everyone has heard the discussion between the... between the Chazon Ish and Shlomo Zalman, as to whether and what malachos are involved in per se in using electricity. So the next question which we'll ask is, forgetting about any other malacha which one was doing, what malacha is involved simply using electricity, and there are various pratim within that, even if it's analyzing what the Chazon Ish actually said, and as analyzing the questions which were asked upon him, and trying to understand his shita properly, and if one does pass on like him, what doesn't pass on like him, what other Yisurim could possibly be involved, and how they could be, and how they're applied, that's another world to talk about the use of electricity per se. Okay. The third issue which we'll be discussing, Mir Sashem, is, and the third question again, this needs to be asked every time you have a shiloh within this area, is, to what degree of kavana do you have when you're involved with this process? Again, part of the nature of this discussion is the way that technology is working is that used to be, you know, you would do something, you'd want to cook something, so you'd go to the you'd go over to the pot, you'd light a fire, you put the pot on the fire, and you'd cook something. Now you can do all types of things from the other side of the world. You could do something over here, it affects something over there. And sometimes you have that in mind, sometimes you don't have it in mind. You walk into a room, a light goes on, you walk in, and that's going to have to analyze from there questions of what level of kavana, davar shein miskaven, is it a psik resha, the gedarim of necholei, what's considered not elo necholei, meaning when are you kemisasek ba'alma, when are you involved in the maisa, when is it happening? It's even somewhat more peripheral. More peripherally involved in a regular maisa at all. We'll give some examples like that. You're simply walking the street and things are happening, as opposed to walking into a room, as opposed to pratim questions, levels like that. But in a sense, how involved are you in this malacha? What type of kavana, psik resha, questions like that, which we'll have to analyze as well. The other sense, I already know what malacha is being done. I already know what's happening in terms of the first two questions. The question there is, to what level of involvement do you have within this in terms of your kavana, psik resha, and the like? Next. Next question is, and this is probably, if you ask me, probably the hardest one to define within all of these questions, is, when are you going to say, are you involved in this directly? When is it considered a maisa? And when is it considered a grama? Grama is a very, very, very difficult thing to pin down. And to work out the gedarim of grama, in other words, even there are going to be many, many times that you're doing something, to contrast this to the last question, the previous question was more your level of kavana. There are going to be times you could have plenty of kavana to do something. Lamashal, I'll get to when we talk about grama, but for example, the Gemara's example is grama, I'm trying to put out a fire. I have full intention. Rahmanu Islam is a fire that breaks out. You're trying to pour water on a certain area of the other side of the room, the other side of the beggar, the other side of whatever, in order that when the fire gets there, so the Gemara calls that a grama. But Avalpi, it's not a Dabar Shein Miskaven, you're clearly Makaving to it. They're not exactly the same question. They're different issues. Whether or not something's a grama, whether it's a mice, so it's different in terms of the Miskaven, and a Miskaven situation type of question. We'll have to analyze that, Mirtz Hashem. And that, again, I think will be the hardest, most difficult, we'll take probably spend the longest time figuring out what that's going to be. But that's another question one must ask every single time. And within that discussion comes within it, there are many machshirim which are out there, which more in Eretz Yisrael, there are types of machines they make, what they call the machshirei grama, the various institutions which try to make... To try to alleviate halachic problem of Shabbos of Shabbos Isurim, in order to much of what they're doing, they're trying, whether it works or not, Mr. Jim will try to talk about that. For people who need to do it seemingly seems to be important for them that they do malacha, with the doctors, whether it be security issues, and especially nurses as well, where they want to minimize the averas which are being done, which is. So are they accomplishing that? Are they not? Certainly there's plenty of literature out there about these topics in terms of these machshire grama. Is it a grama? Is it mutter anyway? There's plenty to talk about within that area. Two other areas which come up and come out, all of the tshuvas or all the articles which deal with these topics are number five, hey, is are you doing it b'derech? You know, Mishnah speak of davarish einam miskayim. Only chayev on Shabbos one does something in a way which has some permanence. So obviously we have to figure out what's considered permanence. A lot of you walk by something gives a beep. Something gives a beep. Does that have any significance? Does that have any everlasting significance? Is that malachas machshavas? Is that miskayim? What is miskayim? Is it going to depend on if something's there for a fleeting moment? How about if it could stay forever? But I had to do another mice. I plan on doing another mice to uproot it. But so these are questions which we'll have to analyze there. If I walk by a screen, lamashal, if I walk by a video camera, if I stay there. If I stay there forever, then it would be permanent. It's only not that way because I continue walking. So is that considered a problem or not? Again, we'll have to see that as we proceed. Furthermore, number six is: is one doing this with a shinoi? Certainly, again, we spoke about it at the very beginning. So little is done the same way that it was done in the Mishkan. So is that necessary to be chayev here? Even come out nothing. Again, I have all these examples. Every machine which was being used, it's not the same way that it was done in the Mishkan. Certainly, the way even though we did things 30 years ago, you used to walk into a room, you have to turn a switch. Now you walk into a room and automatically the light goes on. So is that considered a shinoi? Is that a normal way of turning something on? Would that knock things down to a drabanan? So again, we'll have to analyze the gedarim of shinoi. If you make a gadget, as all these institutes in Eretz Yisrael are doing, they're trying to make gadgets special for Shabbos. So is that considered a shinoi or not? Again, we'll have to analyze what's considered a shinoi from through some of the sources. Seventh issue, which is okay, assuming all of those are probably largely most of the deraisa issues. There are discussions on muktzah, how to view these gadgets on Shabbos, in terms of turning a switch or moving something. So are they muktzah? Are they not? When yes, when no? A lot of that's going to depend on a lot of the previous questions. And finally, the last thing, which we'll talk about, is even if all these things were mutter for other reasons, when are we going to still ask for things because of things like other types of drabanim? In theory, one, from all the other aforementioned isurim, aforementioned discussions, in theory, one can sit in front of his video screen all day long, and watch the and let the internet do its thing in front of you, and that probably is a zilzul of Tuesday, let alone a zilzul of Shabbos. Okay, so with that hakdama, it's probably kedai to enter into the first discussion. Okay, so the first discussion what we'll do is not that it's probably the most relevant right now, but this is simply showing how things work. And it will still have relevance in terms of electric heaters, electric ovens, and the like. The question was asked in terms of the incandescent bulbs. Most of the lights, certainly old lights used to be basically, the way I understand that it works, again, you'll correct me if the Metzius that I have is wrong. There are certainly people who know the Metzius better than I do. I tried to speak to engineers. I read a certain amount. But again, if I'm wrong, you'll tell me. The way these things appear to work is that the electricity is being, the current is being shot into the metal. The metal has a resistance at that point to the current. Mamela, it starts to glow. Okay, so now we have a glowing filament, a glowing piece of metal. We use metals which are fit for that purpose. So the question is that Havara or not? Is that, are you over the Isser of Havara? Okay, so Shlomo Zalman dealt with this. One of the Sfarim which deals with this is the Me'il Shmuel. So Shmuel, Aaron, Yudalevitz. That's from Al Yashiv, that's Al's brother-in-law. So you wrote a sefer on the Chashmal or Halacha. He deals with this. Another sefer, by the way, which I left out of the bibliography, so to speak, for some reason, just slipped my mind when I was putting this together. The sefer Marchei Lev. Marchei Lev is of Zev Lev, for the Machon Lev in Eretz Yisrael. So he was an individual Rav Shlomo Zalman spoke to when he was working out the things. He spoke to some of the mumchim, some of the experts on the topic. He was one of the experts that he spoke to. So he wrote a sefer, Marchei Lev. Marchei Lev. What's that? And he taught him the basics of electricity. He taught Rav Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman went to him. He was one of the people he went to. So he wrote his own sefer on the topic. He had a discussion also in terms of this age. So the issues are going to depend on... So in order to understand this properly, we have to, so to speak, break down. That's why it's going to get important, figuring out what the Gedarim is. What is an ash? So when we look at it, you know, an ash is that thing, you know, it's yellow, it burns you, and it gets hot. Okay, but that's a very fuzzy definition. So we'll try to break it down and figure out what really constitutes an ash and what's a halachic ash. So the Svarim, they note that there are, let's say, four different aspects of ash. There's chom, there's heat. There's the color which is created, the sight of it, the fact that it is destructive, kilayon, usually fire destroys, for example, a completely different area of halacha, but the Gemara tells us at the beginning of Bava Kama, Matarko Shalesh is Lelech Ulahazik, and finally, that there is a flame coming up from it. So, okay, that's true in a typical flame. So now when we're dealing with this metal filament, we're not going to have all of these. We're not going to have, it is, in terms of the heat, yes, it is hot. Don't put your hand to it. In terms of the color is, yeah, that's the whole point. The color is there in order to in order that you see it, in order that it emanates light. In terms of the destruction, in terms of is it destructive, they are less so. It's not one could most according to most poskim, they basically note that it is not destroyed. It's only
create a fire if you put a
what?
If you put some clothing next to it, it'll create a fire.
It doesn't destroy itself, but it could create a fire. But in that sense, anything, any source of heat in that sense could create a fire. The question is it yet a fire? If it puts something up, anything which is hot enough, it could create a fire. That's what they're asking. Is it considered yet a fire? It's not burning anything else. If I light a fire, lamashal, we'll analyze this more, but if you would take a piece of glass, and put it in the sun rays, in theory you'd be able to cook with that. But before you do that, you'd be able to. If you take a piece of paper and you put it under the sun, and you might be able to light the fire. But what I say at this point, the sun is very hot, but the sun is not a fire. The sun, we'll have to analyze it. Why yes, why no? But the sun is generally not considered to be a fire. We'll have to see why not. And certainly, when forgetting about, I certainly didn't create the sun. I mean, we didn't create the sun when I did that. The sun was already very hot. Don't go there. And what I did is when I put the magnifying glass to here, or when I did that, I lit a fire over here. So this is now the fire, which is now burning. But until now, all I did was I brought the heat of whatever to create the fire. So l'chora, together, would seem to be, depending on what a fire is, unless the fire gufa is the heat. You understand? If the fire gufa is the heat, and it will seem to prove that it's not that way in a second, it's very difficult to say the pure heat is fire. For a little mashal, when one... some of the Svarim here note that any time I'm a vashal something, tiyatza lettuce bowl, no one said that I was mavir. Right? I'm not mavir something when I'm a vashal, when I bring chom. Let's say I boil a pot of water. Right? Until then I had H. Now I have water. I'm going to say the water I can't say now is H. Even though the water is now boiling, the water is now a source of heat. Heat is not, as they point out. So the question is going to become: what aspect? We'll have to analyze some of the sources now to see what makes a fire. What makes a fire according to halacha? What is an ish? So. I should have brought them out, but what time is it now? But some of the sources which are mentioned within this discussion is already, we find, the Torah tells us that there's a concept of Sreifas Bezdin. One of the Mises Bezdin is Sreifa. And we have a Dina Barlo Misa Yafra, so therefore we don't actually burn with real fire. We don't actually light the person on fire. What we do is
at the stake.
Right. We don't do that. Instead, we do it with avar, with hot lead. Basically, we use what the Gemara tells us in Yevamos elsewhere, and in seventh parak of Sanhedrin, that we use hot lead. Lead is metal. Lead does not get burnt in the classical sense. So, seemingly, the Torah's hadara of havara, in that case, for srefa, is srefa's bas kohen. For example, we do it using metal. So that's a riot. They bring, seemingly, that metal too is considered a fire, at least in that context. Similarly, the Gemara tells us in. We're just clapping another very important afkamino in terms of the Torah says but he has to eat the carbon pesach sliyesh l'masas l'merom yochlo sliyesh. So the Gemara Gufa on Pesach HaMayin Hei, we're learning that Yomi just about a month ago, a little more than a month ago, tells us that what's considered an ish in that kind of thing. Where Claire is about a gachelesh shel mateches. A gachelesh shel mateches, if I heat the carbon pesach on that, is that considered tzli ish? So the Gemara has a suffix, and it says maybe there, dafka bas kohen, yes, who I learned out from bas kohen, and I said, no, maybe there's different, dilma, dafka bas kohen. Rashi tells us what the reboy is, but there's some type of reboy for HT Sarev that includes not just stamin ish, but even the secondary type of ish, which would be an ish on matechas. The question is, we know Lagabe, in other words, so far where we are, we know Lagabe Havaras Basrepas Bas Kohen, it's considered an ish, but Gachelos on matechas. We know Lagabe Karim Pesach Limar as a suffix is Dilma Ripsa. That's it.
Sorry.
No problem.
Based on the Gemara's permission, as Ripsa Torah culminates Ripos, so that might shalaya not only the case in Karim Pesach, but also Sirvas Bas Kohen.
Sirvas Kohen is Mefurish.
The indication is that it's Riba Torah Kolmei Sreifos in order to be Marve Agachalas, right?
Shel Matachas.
Right. So that seems that's if it was just regular Sreifos, that maybe Agachalas Shel Matachas wouldn't work, but not because the Torah was Riba.
Yeah, that's my point. That's my point.
So so that's for both Karm Pesach and
Yeah. So that I'm saying it may just be the Riboy, may not be. Therefore, L'chora the Gabe Shabbos. Therefore, Chora we would see from there that only Lagabe, maybe one could say only Lagabe is Reifas Bas Kohen, not Lagabe Shar Dvar. However, the problem is, as we all know, the Gemaras tell us, and I don't know if the guys got the Perakol Reg yet, Torah says that Lo Sivaru Eish B'chomos V'seichem B'yom HaShabbos, that is the mucker that you can't do what? That you can't do Sveifas Bas Kohen. So the Sama Nachon, I want to bring a raya that it is considered an age, not only for the purpose of Sveifas Bas Kohen, but if the Makar is, if the same Sveifa, which is Sveifas Bas Kohen, is the Isser of Sveifa, is the Isser of Havara on Shabbos. So, good point. It's at least Asa Misham something. The Gemara says, but the Makar of it, is going to be Lo Sivarish B'chol Moshe Seichem. That's good, right? The Gemara is going to call it Lo Sivarish B'chol Moshe Seichem. So the way of being Docha this way is along the lines that Adam is bringing out right now. So the problem is, the Rambam, I'm doing this a little bit out of order here, but look at footnote 3 here on this page. That the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, Lo Sase Shinchov Beis, tells me the following. Lo Sivaru Eish B'chol Moshe Seichem B'Shabbos, B'chol On Shei Bezdin B'Shabbos. That's the Isser of giving Misas Bezdin. I guarantee you, if one gives Skila, the Isser, if one would have asked, when giving Skila, which Isser is one over? I would have thought, but it's giving Skila, one's over on Shochet. It's Chavala. It's Chavala. Somehow, Lo Sivaru Eish B'chol Moshe Seichem is the makar for the Isser of Dalar Mises Bezdin. Or, similarly, the Rambam Masid is giving Malkus from that same reason. Again, I would think, if anything, it's Chavala. Or, the Rambam goes further, he says, that's the makar, you can't put someone in Chayrim on Shabbos. So, Elamai, this is obviously a different discussion, but probably what's going on there is that the concept of Sivaru Eish B'chol Moshe Seichem, we're learning out from there, one could it's probably somewhat of a new Isser. It's probably somewhat of a new Isser, not simply the Isser isn't doing Havara, this is Torah's Mechadesh, that these Dvarim, maybe because of Shabbos, otherwise it would have been Docha Shabbos, because of the Havim Yitzhak Gemara, because of the Havim Yitzhak Gemara, one has to work out that sugya properly, but whatever the bar is going to be, some at the end of the day, it's going to be somewhat of a new Isser, and I can't prove from there. The Gemara itself seems to say, be pointing out that there is Bisham Bishul Psila, and the problem is not, it's not Havara Dika problem in the first place. So, At this point, we have not necessarily any raya in terms of whether or not this is going to be considered havara or not from the Gemara. And we've shown him maybe still we could very much say that a Torah's rifsa legabe misas bastin. Srefa misas bastin. Okay. A few more minutes. We'll start with the famous shita of the Rambam. The Rambam and the Ravid. I should have brought one myself. I haven't. It's on the sheets. But one of the most famous. I don't have a Rambam here. That would help. I should have.
We'll just do it.
I'm in
the wrong gamma?
No.
Definitely.
I have it. We'll do it again next week anyway. Let's start it off now. It's fine. This is the Rambam right at the beginning of Perek Yud Beis Hilchos Shabbos. He's listing various examples of havara. In that context, the Rambam says hamechamim es hamateches kidei litzarfo b'mayim hareza tolas mavir. Hamechamim es hamateches. So, with it, leaving the pratim for the moment. Within that, clearly the Rambam has some way, some shape or form, where one is chayiv on Shabbos for Havara, though dealing with matechas. Okay, to be contrasted with that, I'll leave the everything there is on the sheet there in terms of the Shlomo Zalman discussion. We'll leave that for next week. I just want to get this on the table right now. To be contrasted with the Shitas HaRavid, see towards the bottom of the top of the page, before the footnotes, Shitas HaRavid, the Ravid there says, the Mechayev b'matecheres mishon bishel. As the Gemara tells us, I don't know who's learning the Ayin Dalet, the Gemara in Ayin Dalet tells you, Kisichsa dasuno de merapi rapi v'hadr kamet. The Gemara gives the example, someone throws a piece of wood into a fire, different girsos in the Gemara, different havanas in the Gemara, but simple pshat is first it softens, then it hardens. So the Ravid thinks that's referring to wood, it's a piece of wood. The Ravid thinks the same thing is true in terms of metal, that the pshat's going to be yechayiv, not mishum, seemingly, not mishum havara, that's what the Ravid is, the hasogos of Ravid. He seems to be arguing on the Rambam about something, and he's saying that the mechayiv matechres mishum bishol. Seemingly unclear whether he means dafka mishum bishul and not mishum havara, that's probably what he means. Or does he mean, why are you, Mr. Rambam, telling me you're only chayev for havara, why are you also not mishum bishul? But he's trying to say also bishul, mistamas, is usually understood to be saying that you're not chayev mishum havara, you're only chayev mishum bishul. So I have to understand, this very much could be a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, as to whether or not there is a concept of Havara on Shabbos for the purpose of in dealing with matechas. So again, when I'm dealing with what do they call it? You're burning the... that's a filament, thank you. You're burning the filament, when they're lighting the filament, is that going to be often the way the raid usually is, you're totally on the sheets, on the machlokas, Rambam Ravid. That's the way these things are usually setting themselves up. According to the Rambam, it's going to be a problem. It seems to be the problem of Havara. According to the Ravid, maybe it's going to be a problem of Bishon. We'll have to figure out whether or not those are relevant here. What are the Shi'urim? Number one, what are the Shi'urim of these things here? Mechamim Amatechus, to what level? Am I Mechamim enough here? Either for the Rambam or the Ravid? Am I always Mechayim Mishon Bishon? We'll have to analyze that, but one of the possible svaras in understanding this Ravid, this is Rav Shlomo Zalman does bring out here that for the Ravid l'chora, the reason why he thinks that this is not going to be a problem of havara mishum the havara havi hagdola seish, or that's one way of saying it, and the most obvious way of saying it, before we get to Shlomo Zalman, the most obvious way of saying it is because the metal doesn't burn. The metal doesn't burn, and therefore, very, very possibly, he's arguing very, very much on this Nikuta. So, we're going to have to pick up with Mirtz Hashem next week is this discussing more of this Rambam Ravid, discussing what's going to constitute another minute or two that. Well, and again, in terms of analyzing a drop more, some of the sources in Havara to see whether or not that would be whether or not part of the gather of the Malacha needs to be in the stamp needs to be actually burning the material, and maybe we'll try to describe some more of the Nafka Mita in terms of that. One further point is mentioned the Rambam here, that even Bedas HaRambam, when he's saying there is Havara, the Rambam does seem to qualify it. That HaMechamim Es HaMatechet Kedei Litzarfo, he throws in. Kedei Litzarfo, it's seeming that Litzarfo means when you're trying to be Mechazek it. So in order, I think the impression is the way they would make a metal kli back in the day was first they would soften it with heat, and then they would throw it on something, they want some water, some cold, and that gufa would be mechazek it. So, if that's necessary at all, then lechora that's completely irrelevant to what we're doing in terms of an incandescent light. We're not interested in hardening and softening; it's not changing shape in any way, shape, or form. So, if that's at all relevant, lechora one wouldn't be. What wouldn't be over? We'll analyze halacha more. I should tell you, generally the convention is, conventional wisdom is, most people seem to think that it is considered ish. I'm told there are major poskim who hold against that, you should know. But, just in case someone's not going to be here next week, the convention is generally, in terms of l'isser, certainly don't do it no matter what. It's probably many most posts can do assume it's a daraisa in terms of putting it on. There are, I want you to probably generally be choshesh for them. However, there are major poskim, what I'm told, which we'll get to in the future, were mekel in terms of this, and to think that it's not considered an age because it's not getting burned. Mirza Shem will have to analyze more next week in terms of, number one, from the standpoint of Havara, why would I think that Havara needs to consume. So we'll have to analyze that a little bit. Should I think that or not? We'll have to analyze more in terms of what the Rambam's Kedei Litzarf was about. And then a little bit more maybe in some other of an Akamina in terms of whether or not it is an age. Okay, so we'll pick up more with a little bit more with this discussion. Okay, Shkaya.